Hello, everyone, and welcome to Church at Home. Last week it was very, very successful. We did it for the first time, and we had lots of feedback on how well it did come across, and so many homes that it reached, even beyond, obviously, the borders of our church and beyond our church family. So that's wonderful. Even many from overseas tuned in. For example, I got some word from Pastor Napoleon, and Pastor Napoleon in Sri Lanka said that he passed it on to all of the churches that we're supervising and sponsoring in Sri Lanka. Others from Philippines talked about tuning in as well. So welcome if you've tuned in from those places, and welcome, family, to another edition of Church at Home. Personally, I'm at peace. We talked about peace last week, and truthfully speaking, I myself am at peace. However, there's a little apprehension in my heart and in my mind, and I really feel for those that are hurting, those that are losing their jobs, so many small businesses that are closing their doors, so many that are fearful of the circumstances and fearful of the future and the unknown and so on. I've seen many reports of doctors, the professionals at the forefront of this particular pandemic, who are so gripped by fear, obviously not knowing what to do or how to help people, and people are dying all the time, and the fear that's coming from them is quite startling. And God says to us, and said to us last week, do not fear and don't be troubled. Jesus says, I gift you with my peace rather than getting gripped by fear. We're going to talk a bit more about that today. But just a couple of positives before we get into the word and the message of today. You know, there's some amazing positives coming out of this. A pastor friend of mine put online, and he was talking online during the week. He lives in Sydney, and he said that with the closure of the casino in Sydney, they donated all of their food to the church. I thought, wow, that's amazing. That's really wonderful. It's the wealth of the world going into the hands of the godly, and of course those items, that food and so on, was distributed to people in need. And I think that was amazing. A few more positives. This particular situation is bringing back the family dinner to the family dinner table. That's good. I love that. So many families are no longer eating together. And I think that's doing that quite well. It's also restoring the value of the family unit. Because at the end of everything, and when all is said and done, if you've got a strong family, that's the most important thing in people's lives. And it's bringing a restoration to the value of family units. It's bringing together neighbours. Neighbours are beginning to care for one another a bit more than perhaps they have been before, and talking and saying, you know, we're there for you. And we've done the same with our neighbours as well. It's slowing down people's lives in order to appreciate what really matters. Sometimes we fill our lives with all sorts of stuff, and most of that stuff doesn't really matter. We're slowing down. We're beginning to say, hey, these are the most important things. The other one is there's an opportunity of teaching real values to our children, particularly the young children, the values that are not out there in the world or things that money can buy, but the value that you've got around you in your very family. Can I urge you to keep praying for one another, to be there for one another? Stay interested in the well-being and the needs, not only of yourself and your own family, but also the interests and the well-being of others, just like the Word of God tells us. Be interested in the well-being of others around you. And beware of isolation. If you know of people that are at home or isolated or lonely, get on the phone, bring them a parcel, help in whatever way you can. Let's not allow people, particularly in our family and beyond, to feel the added burden and pressure of isolation. The other thing is pray for our leaders. Pray for Scott Morrison. He's got an enormous, heavy job ahead of him. I believe he's doing a great job. Continue to pray for him. Pray for all our leaders, the state leaders, the local leaders, and so on. Let's keep them in our prayer. And finally, can I urge you to pray for me? This is not an easy thing. Navigating these uncharted waters is not easy. I want to be able to weekly bring the word of the Lord, not what I'm thinking, not what I could say, but what I need to say. So that's my heart. I want to do that faithfully. I want to keep bringing what God is saying in the now. And I pray that God will inspire you to action, to listen and do what you believe God is saying to you through the weekly messages. So let's get into today's message. Today's message is entitled, Don't Fear God's Testing, Respond to It. Don't fear God's testing, respond to it. For those that may not have been listening last week, just quickly, we talked about peace in place of pandemonium. Jesus offers us his peace. It's his gift to us. He does that in order for us to be equipped to navigate uncertain times. We also noted last week that this particular peace that Jesus gives us is not a given. It's not just for anyone. You can't just declare it or claim it and have it any old how. The peace that Jesus gives us must meet God's conditions. When we do, we can then expect the desired outcomes. And we said last week that we need to learn to cultivate those conditions in order to get God's peace, in order to get God's promises and so on. And based on Psalm 91, we said that there are four conditions. I just simply want to mention them. And if you didn't listen to last week's message, go back. You'll find it online. Go back and listen to that message. I believe that it will be of a blessing to you. So, first condition is make God your dwelling place. Remain in him. Make him first in your life. Put God first in your life, in your existence, in your daily living. The second condition, love him, that is God, passionately and above everything. Love him with an amazing, unconditional, strong, passionate love, unlike any love that you've got for anything else or anyone else. The third condition is to know him personally and intimately. Not know of him, not think that he's out there somewhere doing his own thing and maybe once in a while he'll look your way. No. Get to know him personally. He is a personal God. And lastly, confide in him all your needs. In other words, pray. The Bible says that we need to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. He cares for you. And I pray that these conditions, we've made them part of our lives, even this week, and we've begun to do them if we're not used to doing them. Meet the conditions, and you can also expect God's promises. Expect the outcome. Today, don't fear God's testing, rather respond to it. Make no mistake, this is a test. Let me say it one more time. Make no mistake, this, what's happening today, the pandemic today, the virus, the coronavirus, etc., is a test. We said last week, and I want to affirm once again, this is God's world. Doesn't belong to anyone else, doesn't belong to the devil. It is God's world. This is his world. God is sovereign. God is still on the throne, and God is still working all things for our good. It didn't take him by surprise. So We need to begin by asking not the question why and who and when and try and get all these answers. We may never get those answers. Rather, let's look at the bigger picture and see God in all of this. When we are looking at the big picture, we see God. God is the bigger picture. Maybe you can shout amen. God is the bigger picture. Now we need to ask the question, what? And this has two aspects. The first aspect is, what is God saying to the world generally? The second aspect is, what is God saying to me specifically? This is a hearing test, as I said last week. And we're going to pause and talk about that today. Next week, we're going to look at the heart test and also the faith test. But for today, the hearing test. So, number one, what is God saying to us generally? Well, firstly, I believe that God is saying to us, there is a God. He's saying to us, listen to me, world, generally speaking, God exists. Have you noticed that in fearful circumstances, in desperate times, even unbelievers turn to God? What happens is that some turn to God in defiance. Why, God, are you doing this? If there's a God out there, I don't like him because he's doing all this stuff. Others turn to God in submission. Let me give you some advice. Turn to God in submission. Have a submissive heart. Say, God, what are you saying in all of this? There's this tendency for people to realize that there really is a God and that God really is our only hope. Just a few days ago, I was listening to a report about a number of atheist doctors in Italy. And of course, we know that in Italy, thousands of people are dying and many hundreds on a daily basis. And so this report was about these particular doctors who were atheists. And they said that with this pandemic and the stuff that they've witnessed and seen and the people and the hurt and the pain around them has caused them to question whether or not God does really exist. Not only that, they've crossed over the line to believing, hey, God does really exist. God is God really is our hope, because all of these hopeless people are dying in front of us. What if it happens to us? What about us? What's going to happen to our lives, our families, our eternity? And so what's happened is they've gone from unbelief to belief. They've become believers, whereas just a few days ago they were stern atheists. And now not only have they become believers in Italy, these doctors, but they're praying for themselves and praying for their families and praying for their patients. How awesome is that? That's amazing. So let's understand that God is saying, hey, there is a God. I do exist. Psalm 41? I didn't write it down properly. It says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Please, please, don't be that fool. Secondly, God is saying death is real. And without God, death is enemy number one. More specifically, the fear of death is your worst enemy. Think about that. The fear of death is your worst enemy. And so that's why so many people are being gripped by this fear. It turns to anxiety. It turns to irrational behavior, irrational speech and thinking, anger and all that sort of thing. Why? It all stems from the fear of death. Isn't it interesting that When death is spotlighted, God gets our attention. For example, in funerals, whenever somebody goes to a funeral, all of a sudden they begin to think about God. They begin to think about their own mortality. They begin to think about what could happen to me if I ever really thought about afterlife and everything concerned about this afterlife and where do I stand with God and all that sort of stuff. All of a sudden, we begin to give our attention to God, even for just a little while. This pandemic has got people scared because people are dying. It's this fear that has brought the world to its knees. The stark, raw reality of death. And so we begin to ponder our own mortality. We begin to think about the uncertainty of tomorrow. And we begin to ask ourselves, what if there really is an afterlife, life after death after all? I believe we fear death because we fear eternity. Think about that. It's a big unknown for many. And I believe that if the eternity question is settled, so too will the fear of death be solved. And this is precisely why we said last week that to navigate troubled waters, we need God's peace. To get God's peace, we need to trust Him, put our faith in Him first. And if we receive God's gift of peace, here's the good news. It comes with freedom, and it's the freedom of the fear of death. Wow. That, my friends, is priceless. Priceless. One more thing. God is saying, generally, you and I were created for eternity, and specifically for His glory. Bible says quite a lot about that. Life is not all about here and now. We are limited, we're frail, we're finite beings in a physical sense. The Bible describes us as a vapor that's there one moment and gone the next, the flower of the field, etc. So we're limited. We're made of very frail stuff. But our soul and our spirit, the real you and I that you can't see, is created to live forever. Our hope, the Bible tells us, is not in what is seen, but what is unseen and eternal. When this hope centers on God, that ought to center on God, when this kind of hope is missing from our lives, then we begin to seek other purposes in life. And we quickly find out, whether it's in a short time or whether it's in a longer time, we find out that everything in the end becomes futile. So here's my counsel to you. Don't get smug about this life. Don't get too comfortable with this life. Don't get the illusion of permanence, because we're not here permanently. Set your hope on a permanent, everlasting God who loves you. So God is saying, hey, you were created for eternity. You were created for my glory. If you get that right, you will reap the rewards and the benefits of why I created you. So, the second question is, what is God saying to me specifically? We just had a quick look at what is God saying to us all in a general sense, but let's zero in for a moment. What is God saying to me to you specifically? And believe me, I'm asking myself this question. It's a very, very important, pertinent, urgent question. What's God saying to you? Whether you're part of this church family or not, whether you're just a friend that's listening in, please, what is God saying to you specifically? Regardless of the cause or the origins of this COVID-19 virus, the fact is that it has brought the world to its knees and brought the world to a standstill. Smack in the middle of this fear, this panic, this anxiety, this chaos, there's the resounding voice of God that thunders in the stillness. We need to listen for it. Let me tell you, God is neither complacent about what's happening, nor is he uncaring. God is very interested in what's happening, and God is very caring. Just a few months ago, in our Connect groups and on Sunday morning's teachings, we discussed the presence of an absence. That is, the absence of God. There's a presence of the absence of God in our lives. That God, for many professing Christians, has been relegated to the marginal corners of our lives. Many of us have become self-engaged, self-absorbed, self-distracted by anything and everything but God himself. We have succumbed, I'm talking about Christians generally, we have succumbed to a stagnant spirit and a secularized spirituality. It's pretty sad. I believe that with the onset of COVID-19, the coronavirus, God is calling us to repent and to return to him. Let me repeat that. With the onset of this coronavirus all over the world, God is speaking. He is calling us to repent and to return to him. I believe that it's time to attend to and to respond to the voice of God. In the Bible, the prophet Zephaniah addresses a backslidden Israel who had marginalized God and had gone their own way and done their own thing. Zephaniah, who was a prophet, and a prophet is the mouthpiece or the voice of God to the people. Zephaniah, in no uncertain terms and in very strong words, rebukes Israel. That's what the book's about. Let me read one verse of the book of Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 12. And I quote, "At that time, I will search Jerusalem," that is God, "I will search Jerusalem with lamps." In other words, he's going to scrutinize Jerusalem. He's going to look, and we're not talking about the city, we're talking about the people in Jerusalem. I'm going to scrutinize everybody's lives. I'm going to check things out carefully. Scrutinize carefully. And then he says, "I will punish the men that are complacent or stagnant in their spirit, those who say in their hearts, 'The Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil or ill.'" Either way, they were thinking, whether good or bad, God doesn't care. God is indifferent. Let me tell you something. God is not indifferent. God, in fact, cares. He wants us to pay attention. He wants us to take notice. And he wants us to listen to what he is telling us. And my friends, there are eternal consequences. For a believer, God speaks by the Holy Spirit that's in us. When we receive Jesus into our lives as our personal Savior, God the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. And it's the Holy Spirit that speaks within us the voice of God. Not only that, the Bible, the Word of God, speaks to us. It's not just the book, it's the truth of God. And so the Word of God is our authority. We can bank on the Word of God and know that everything that it says is the truth. So for a believer, God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit in us, and also the Word of God, that is the truth of God. For everyone in general, everyone else, he continues to speak by his word. His word is applicable not only to the believer, but also for the unbeliever. But he also speaks by the Holy Spirit, a word of conviction. It's from the outside, but he will convict us. He will speak into our minds, into our spirits, the truth of what God is telling us. And I pray that you will listen out for that voice and you will search the scriptures for the truth for yourself. So everyone, it's time to listen. It's time to listen. Isn't it interesting that so many voices that we are always accustomed to listen to are now being silenced? They are temporarily shutting down. One by one, these voices are shutting down. For example, the voice of entertainment, particularly personal entertainment, where you go to an entertainment venue. Theatres shutting down. Hollywood is shutting down, thank God, for the shutting down of Hollywood, at least for a while. Celebrities think that they know it all. They think they're the voice of the world. They're shutting down. Public speakers, experts on everything with very few real answers. It's sometimes the experts give you their opinion and they contradict some other experts on the same topic. Their voice is shutting down. Crowds and gatherings shutting down. Sports is shutting down. Recreation is shutting down. Hobbies and pubs and clubs all shutting down. The voice of money is shutting down. In fact, it's becoming very, very unstable. The voice of religion is shutting down. What is also shutting down is the voice of friends. In this particular times, you'll find out who your real friends are. You'll find out that they are the ones that will be calling you. They are the ones that will show an interest in you. They are the ones that will be coming around and helping you. They're the ones that will be caring for you. You'll find out who they really are. All of these have been voices that, to one extent or another, have served to drown out God's voice to our lives. But let me tell you something. Even though churches may have shut down, the voice of God is speaking louder than ever. I want you to shout amen. The voice of God is not shut down, and he is speaking louder than ever. So the question is, are we listening? Are you listening? And of course, how are we responding to what God is telling us? We have replaced God with myriads of other things, and in doing so, we've created for ourselves idols that we give allegiance to and that we, in fact, are worshipping on a daily basis, be it idols of entertainment or sport or recreation or money or celebrities or other kinds of idols. All of these promise self-fulfillment, they promise satisfaction, they promise happiness and peace, only to leave us void of the things that they promise, especially peace. And they leave us with a lasting emptiness in our lives, and we want more and more and more, and it never satisfies. What these voices successfully deliver is delusion and lies. Let me tell you, all the voices that are shouting at you and promising all sorts of things, they're lies. It's not true. It's not true. It's the word of God, the voice of God. That's the truth. So let me conclude by sharing with you the truth about why we are in this predicament and two things that we need to do. Why do we find ourselves in this predicament, apart from the fact that the virus has come about? And what should we do? Isaiah chapter 31, verse 1 says these words: "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many and in horses because they are strong, and do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult in the Lord. Let me unpack this scripture for just a few moments. This is much of scripture is metaphors, and what we read has significant meanings. And in this particular case, there are meanings to this scripture. It begins with, "Woe to those that go down to Egypt." Now, the word woe literally means, ah, alas. It means, oh, how foolish of them. There's an inevitable consequence to doing that. It means how mindless of them. It alludes to a sealed and an inevitable fate for those that do this. Woe to them. They've sealed their fate by doing it. That's what it means. And the word Egypt is a metaphor for the world. So the question is, what is foolish and seals their fate? What is it? Those who go to Egypt for help. That is foolish and it seals your fate. Those who rely on horses and trust in chariots. What that means is those who rely on strength and wealth that's in the world. Those are foolish. Those have sealed their fate with their foolishness. You see, the strength and the wealth of the world will not and cannot help you. And we're finding that out really quickly in this particular pandemic. It's affecting the poorest. They can't do anything about it. But it's affecting the wealthiest and they can't do anything about it. Just recently, I think it was a day ago, that Prince Charles was diagnosed positive with the coronavirus. The poorest, the wealthiest cannot do anything about it. It affects everyone. God says it's foolish to go down to the world, to go down to Egypt and to trust in horses and chariots, the wealth of the world, the strength of the world, what the world can give you and do for you. It's foolish to put your trust and hope and trust and faith in the world. It's foolish to do so. And so let me urge you that it's foolish to look elsewhere for hope when they cannot give you the hope that you need. They cannot give you the peace that you need. It's only found in one place, in Jesus himself. The Bible says that people's hearts are failing them for fear when all this stuff begins to happen. And we're finding that that's true right now. People are even suiciding. Sickness and death are great equalizers. By going elsewhere for your help, you are showing God contempt, distrust, and dishonor. That's what this scripture is really saying. And by not looking up to the Holy One of Israel and by not consulting the Lord. So, let me finish with two things that you and I must do. And let me suggest to you, do them now. Don't wait. Do them now. Please, listen up. What do we need to do? Number one, according to the scripture that we just read, look up. Look up. Look to the Holy One of Israel. Look up to God, your God. To look up to God or to something, it means to deliberately turn your attention to Him. It means to seek out what He will show you or tell you. It's getting our eyes off ourselves and our eyes off our circumstances and giving our attention to God, to the Lord. Look up. So that's the first thing we need to do. Get our eyes off the stuff. Get our eyes off the misery. Get our eyes off the fears. Get our eyes off what's happening around us in the world and begin to look up. Give our attention to God. The second thing that it tells us we ought to be doing is that we ought to consult with Him. When we consult with somebody, we're coming to that person for direction or we're coming for that person for advice and help. That's why we consult with somebody. So in this case, when we consult with God, we are saying to ourselves, well, what does God have to say about this? And more importantly, what is God saying to me about this? Consulting with God is not consulting with just anyone. It's God. Let that sink in. When we are consulting with God, He stands alone. I said right at the beginning, our only hope is God. So consult with our only hope. Consult with the one that's got the answers. Consult with the one that can do things and change things. God. And when we consult with God, this also implies submission to His counsel. It's foolish to consult with God if we have no intentions of doing what He tells us. So therefore, when we are deciding to consult with God, we need to consult with the intent to obey what He tells us. Let me give you a guarantee. If you decide today to look up and put your attention on God, who is the only one that can help you and give you hope, if you decide today to consult with that God with the intent of doing something, the guarantee that I'll give you is that He will speak to you. You will hear His voice in a very silent manner in your inner being, in your spirit, your inner ear. He will speak to you. He will show you. He may speak to you through the Word. He may speak to you through what I'm saying to you today. Maybe that sense in your spirit that God is really saying something to you is God Himself speaking to you right now. So my guarantee is that when you look up and give Him your attention, and when you decide that you want to consult with Him because you want to know what He is saying, with the intent of doing something about it, God is going to speak to you. And if you obey what He tells you, everything from today forward will be different. I'm not suggesting that this coronavirus is going to disappear. It may last a while. We don't know how long. I'm not suggesting that immediately your whole world will turn around like some magical transformation. But let me tell you, your today will be transformed. Your future will be transformed. Your heart will be transformed. You will have the peace of God. You will be in peace with God. And your eternity will be secure in God. Jesus said these words in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. There's so many people that are heavy laden right now. Maybe you're listening to me and you've got that heaviness. Come to me, Jesus said. Come to me and I will give you rest. Last week, that looks like His peace. God will give you His peace when you come to Him. He will give you rest. Rest for the anxiety in our souls. So my prayer for you today is that you pass the hearing test. A test is there for us to pass, not to fail it. This is a test. And God wants us to pass the hearing test. How? By looking to Him, by setting your attention on Him, by consulting with Him for what He has to tell us, and by obeying what you hear. Friends, today, this is for all of us, whether you're a believer or not. And if you are a person that doesn't usually go to church, doesn't usually take God seriously, perhaps you're a religious person, perhaps you were a religious person, perhaps you know, you've just wandered away from this whole God thing altogether and have never taken it seriously. Please, it's time to take it seriously. It's time to listen to the voice of God that's speaking to you right now. It's time to give it to Him. It's time to get your own heart in order. It's time for his peace and security to become your peace and security. And the Bible says that that's why Jesus came. We were lost. The Bible says we were lost in our own ways, in our own sinful ways, doing our own thing. Enemies of God, alienated from God. But God is drawing us to himself. He's telling us, come back. Come back. The road to come back is repentance. Understand that we've got it wrong. Understand that without God, I've done my way, my thing. I've sinned. I'm being destroyed by this sin. You know, I think that I've got it right, but I haven't, and nothing is working. God says, come back to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. The Bible says that if we will come and ask for forgiveness, he is faithful. He will forgive us. He loves us. The provision for forgiveness is there. He wants to take away our sin. He wants to completely wipe the slate clean. He wants to replace our anxieties with his peace, with his hope, with his love, with his eternal security. Believe me, everything will change. So that's my prayer for you. Whatever God's saying, obey it, do it. And if God is inviting you, open your heart, listen to his voice, let him come in. Say, God, I've got it wrong. I'm a sinful person. I've done things my own way. It's no worse than any other of us in that position, some recently and some many years ago. But God is a God of love. He offers forgiveness. He offers to restore your life. He offers you peace. He offers you an eternity with him. So let me pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, I pray for everybody that's listening. I pray that by the words that we've just heard, that you are not only speaking to us, but we are hearing what you are saying. And for many of us, it's stirring us out of our complacency, out of our secularized spirituality, and you're calling us to come back. Come back to intimacy. Come back to loving you. Come back to putting you first. Come back to consulting with you and giving our attention to you. And for others that perhaps don't know you like some do, for others that are listening and this is resounding in their spirits and somehow they believe that God is speaking directly to them. Lord, for those, I pray, Lord, that you touch their lives in an amazing way. Lord, that there might be an amazing transformation, that you will make them your children with a secure eternity. Lord, I pray that that's reality today. Let it be for your glory. Help us to listen and to obey. If you're making the choice today to say yes to Jesus, I need you in my life. I'm seeing what's happening and it's just chaos. It's pandemonium. None of it makes sense, and fear and anxiety is everywhere. And I don't want that to be part of my life. I need the peace of God. I need the hope and the love that he provides. If that's you, pray this prayer. Pray this prayer with me. Pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, right now, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you because Jesus paid the price on the cross for my sins. I thank you that I am able to come to you and realize the error of my ways. And so right now, I ask for your forgiveness. Forgive me of all of my sins and all of my past. I invite you into my life. And from this day forward, I want to make you, Jesus, the Lord of my life and my personal Savior. I promise that from this day on, I will live for you. And I thank you right now, as I invite you into my life, that you will come in. You are coming into my life. And right now, I receive you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your free gift of eternal life, for making me your child, because that's what I want, and for transforming my life forever, for making me clean. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, God bless you. Know that God loves you. Receive his peace, and with it, freedom from the fear of death. See you next week.